助けてほしいかナナミ。
心を燃やせ、限界を超えろ。
Hello and welcome to More Than Headlines, your weekly anime news podcast powered by Audio Technica, made by Australians for global citizens. I'm your extremely humble host, Brendan White, aka the Salt and Pepper Senpai, and joining me in the studio, my trusted co-host and rival, the Eren Jaeger to my world, Mrs. Courtney Smith. How the bloody hell are ya?
I am so good now that I finally have the hair color I've always dreamed of having. I have my mushroom blonde or greyish hair now, and it costs me a lot of money, but I am so happy. How are
money
you?
Well spent. Money yeah. Well spent, I must say. You're looking ravishing. You're looking very comfortable in this new do, and it feels very you. So audio-based listeners, go hunt Courtney down on them socials and check it out, because I'm sure there'll be some content out there showcasing this new do in very short order. But I'm doing good. I'm tired. I've also had a stressful day. Little Bentley's got a little bit of a sore back at the moment, so I had to spend the morning and much hairdresser money at the vet as well. So we've both been shelling out dollary dues for different reasons today, but I treated us and our stress and grief and anxiety off the back of that to some little KFC this afternoon. So we had some chippies together on the couch and a little bit of popcorn chicken. So if I fall asleep mid-podcast, it's because the dirty bird has set in. It's definitely not due to the company I'm keeping right now.
So, Brennan, I do need to ask, and I love to ask this question whenever someone tells me that they get like fast food or a common like meal, whether it's from a franchise place or just a cafe. But what is your go-to KFC order?
Depending on the mood, either a Zinger bacon and cheese or just the standard like non-Zinger fillet bacon and cheeseburger in a meal with a piece of chicken, preferably a drumstick. Change potato and gravy to a gravy, add extra salt to the chips, 7-Up or Pepsi Max as the drink, and a couple of dinner rolls on the side to dip into that gravy. That's my usual.
Wait, so what size meal do you get then?
I'll sometimes like just get the drink up size just because the bottle's easier to navigate than a can in that instance. And usually the boys will eat most of the chips anyway, so that they don't need a whole large chips between themselves. As it is, salty potato is probably not good for dogs. So regular chips, large drink, and then the rest of those goodies there. But it depends on the mood, but that's usually my go-to. Occasionally a Twister. Twisters are good. I love a Twister.
I've actually never had one, but I feel like I should try.
Twister, they kind of trick you into feeling like you're eating like marginally healthy, because it's like, oh, it's in a wrap and there's lettuce and more tomato. Like, it is not by any stretch of the imagination, but it is really tasty. I love a good Twister.
Look, whatever you need to do to feel that you're treating your body like the temple that it is, I support it.
I am one of those desecrated temples that you see in a lot of anime, you know, the ones that just haven't been looked after and cared for a long time. Like, there ain't no Amagami sisters here sort of catering to my needs for sure. They've left this place. The weeds are 20 meters high. The sign's fallen off. There's rust. It's a rough temple, Courtney.
Look, to be fair, if the Amagami sisters were there, I don't know if your temple would look amazing either. Like, just gonna put it out there.
Yeah, it's fair. That's accurate. But other than that, I'm doing okay. I am still on a partial high. I did my my first voice acting class last weekend. So if you might hear me on random adverts in the near future, who the hell knows? It's it could be a thing. But no, I had a couple of hours in a private session with a studio called Voices of Tomorrow here in Melbourne, and it was really fun and really insightful. And it was exciting, but also nerve-wracking at times, because like we went and did a heap of standard commercial reads and adverts. But then at the end, Andy sort of threw me into a few roles of like playing random characters just on the fly. So trying like change my whole voice and persona to like, one I had to do was like this like anxiety ridden hedgehog of all things, like definitely not like Sonic's cousin, may or may not have been anyway. So that was sort of a little bit of an uncomfortable out of body experience doing those parts, but overall it was a fun time, and I'm looking forward to doing more as I work on my little demo reel now.
Wow. Yeah, I was gonna say, so is it like a one-time experience, or is it like a full-on like course where you do a bunch of different I guess, like lessons.
Yeah, it's a course in a way. So we've got another session booked, I think, in 2 to 3 weeks' time. We're sort of just doing it every month just to get together, but we're also sort of in correspondence remotely and sort of I've recorded some stuff, shot it through, got some feedback. And so it's sort of a bit of a mentor type of vibe as well. And off the back of that, in I think it's start of June, he's going to connect me in, like he's sort of part of like a big like voice acting agency. And so he's going to introduce me to sort of their Melbourne arm, which is exciting. Like nothing could come of all of this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not getting too far ahead of myself, but it's kind of cool to be doing something a little different.
Yeah, that's really fun. And I think like, you know, because we do talk about voice actors a lot and it's obviously such a big part of what we're interested in, I feel like it, you know, does make a lot of sense. And the fact that you even have that kind of insider knowledge of how things work and, you know, especially here in Australia where the industry is probably smaller as well, getting that insider knowledge I feel is really cool.
It was super insightful, and just the knowledge and the tips and tricks and the war stories that Andy was sort of sharing with me as we went through these classes was really cool. Like it was really knowledgeable. And the big thing is like Australians naturally, you know, we talk fast. So one big thing is obviously slowing down your word count per minute, but then also just knowing when to focus on certain words, like how to sort of tailor that energy, whether it be consistent all the way through the read or where you want those high points to sort of stand out and hammer those sort of, you know, hero focal points of the read itself. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. It was a good little sort of couple of hours that I spent last weekend doing that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to hear your debut as a voice actor.
You wait. I'm going to end up like lucking into some ad about like hemorrhoid cream or something. You wait. Like it's going to be the most menial, bland first ad. But you know what? I'm going to like commit to that and be like the most trustworthy, wholesome, believable hemorrhoid sufferer the world has ever heard. But hopefully that can lead to maybe like random bit parts in like, you know, voice acting roles in anime or games or something. So who knows?
Or you can just be the hemorrhoid guy for the rest of your life.
I do not want to be known as the hemorrhoid guy for the rest of my life. If that's the case, I'm moving far, far away and having like drastic plastic surgery and hiding and changing my entire look, because ain't no one want to be known as the hemorrhoid guy. Please don't call me the hemorrhoid guy.
I'm so sorry.
My ass is clean. It's clear. I promise.
Oh my God.
Anyway, let's get out of these weeds very, very quickly before I say something else I'm going to regret here and jump into what we always do. We'll talk about the news. We're going to be tackling the biggest headlines from the last week or so that we feel you guys need to know about, presented by our friends over at Iced Tea Aesthetics, where anime meets streetwear. Go cop their new Attack on Titan drop immediately. And while you're there, use code Sakura Society 5, that is number 5, at checkout to save yourself some cashish on your order. But let's jump into this.
You like the news?
I actually love the news. And our first story today, US President Donald Trump announced via social media that he's authorizing the process of imposing a 100% tariff on films from outside the US, as he feels that other countries are drawing away the production of movies from the US and that this is a national security threat.
Trump is such a goddamn asshat, Courtney. This is ridiculous. Like, I went away and did a little bit of research, a little bit of sleuthing, a little bit of journalism off the back of this piece of news, and found some interesting factoids that I thought I'd bring to the table here, or the studio, or the microphone. And first one, in 2023, half of US big budget films were already shot overseas for tax breaks. And obviously that's done to not only make these films more cost effective to create, but also obviously, yeah, pull through revenue and savings, and also broaden relationships with various sort of countries and city-based stakeholders. So you sort of get a bit of that sort of broad global flavor organically in the films, even if they're not sort of set in the countries they're shot in. And in over 2024, over 70% of Hollywood's overall box office came from international markets. So this feels like he's just slapping tariffs on foreign films. And all that's going to do is make movies even more expensive. It's going to shrink the industry, and it's going to cut Hollywood off from the audiences that are trying to keep it alive. It's like burning your own house down because your neighbor has better snacks. is a good way to sort of describe it. It makes zero sense to me. And God damn it, Donald Trump just sucks.
I also wonder as well, because we know that Trump is kind of infamous for making these big sweeping statements. And, you know, while he has imposed a lot of tariffs now on things, it isn't as kind of extreme as he initially said it would be. So first of all, does this actually include animated films? And does it include TV series, or is it just a movie standpoint that, you know, he's kind of investigating here? And I wonder how they would even implement it. So, like, would it be for both digital and physical products, or is it just for physical products, most of which people aren't even really buying anymore anyway? Like, everyone is moving digitally. But then how are you going to impose tariffs on these digital goods, you know, especially when there is like big streamers that are very, very global, very international? How are you going to kind of control that? Like, I think of Netflix, right? And there's just like, they have the Korean section, they have the Japanese section, they have the Bollywood section. So, you know, what do you, like, what is the plan? What is the play there? Like, so many Americans watch Bluey, you know? So I feel like if it does kind of go through the way that he's describing it will, I feel like it would just increase piracy, which is no good for anybody. And then Netflix and Crunchyroll have to increase those prices to kind of keep up with the tariffs. And of course, that's going to get passed on to the customer. And if people can't afford to pay for their subscriptions, then of course they're going to go and sail the seven seas.
Yeah, it's a mess, and it's very short-sighted by old orange boy Trumpy here. I feel what they're going to try and do is maybe like take a percentage of the box office when these things hit the cinema, because yeah, it's going to be near impossible for Trump to govern things through the streamers and through television and what have you, because if he's going to have this hard and fast rule that anything outside of the US cops these 100% or whatever percentage he ultimately lands on tariffs, like, it's unsustainable and it's just going to tank the market and it's not going to do well for America overall. So let's see what nonsensical idea he comes up with next, and let's see if he actually follows through on some of said nonsensical ideas too. But yeah, man, Trump sucks. That's all I got to say.
It's just crazy to me that in a world where, you know, we have the internet and everyone is really interconnected and, you know, globalization is such a huge part of world culture now, that he's trying so hard to like close the US off to the rest of the world. It's just an interesting choice, I think.
Yeah, it's very tone deaf. Like, his mindset that the US has been just getting bled dry by the rest of the globe is so silly and so archaic and doesn't have any data that supports it. He's just an old man off his meds on his high horse, just getting angry. He's Clint Eastwood in, what's that movie?
The Gran Good, Torino? The Ugly. Oh, yeah, Gran Torino. Oh,
yeah, I love that movie. He is that level of old and asshole-y at the moment. But anyway, let's not make this a big rant about Trump. Let's move into news headline number two. The romance manga In the Clear Moonlit Dusk is getting an anime adaptation in January of 2026. The series synopsis reads as follows. Every time Yoi Takiguchi so much as lets out a sigh, her female classmates squeal in admiration and awe. She has been dubbed the school's prince by virtue of her boyishly attractive appearance and casual disposition. However, she chooses to be indifferent towards the attention she receives and spends her days normally. That is, until the school's other prince, Kohaku Ichimura, waltzes into her life and calls her beautiful. Kohaku is nothing like a prince. He acts thoughtlessly and does as he pleases. But when he compliments her, Yui feels flustered, and the way he looks at her gets her all kinds of nervous. He is the first boy to acknowledge her as a girl, and her attempts to distance herself proves futile as he seems to have his sights set on her. While Yui keeps telling herself that it's nothing serious, even she cannot completely ignore the stir Kohaku causes in her heart.
Oh my God. Okay, I haven't read this manga, but when I saw the announcement for the anime and I read the synopsis, I was like, I have to watch this. It looks so cute. And it feels like it's going to be a more serious version of Tomo-chan is a Girl, which I think will actually be really, really wholesome, because I love that anime and manga now is looking at gender more and more from these kinds of social lenses, which is really good. So I'm really, really keen for next year's adaptation.
Yeah, I think the Tomo-chan, that's such a great shout out. It was super enjoyable, super wholesome, super heartfelt, and super funny. And I feel that if this can be three quarters of that, we're going to be in for a very enjoyable time. I'm a big fan of these sort of gender bend, androgynic types of stories, especially when you can combine that with some form of romance. So I'm in, and I'm also thinking off the back of sort of reading this synopsis and just this general back and forth we've had now about In the Clear Moonlit Dusk, I'm going to dip a toe into the manga this week and see what it's all about. So I'll report back on my thoughts on In the Clear Moonlit Dusk in the coming weeks.
Yes, I'm so excited for your review. But we've got some other big sweeping changes in the anime community world. Mm-hmm. In an announcement on the site's forum, MyAnimeList has been acquired by Gaudy Inc. MyAnimeList's lead admin, Kaneda, stated that Gaudy is a company with a vision of connecting fans to IP. With Gaudy FanLink, they explore using various new technologies such as AI and blockchain to bring new experiences to fans, and then follow it up by saying that just because a parent company explores using those technologies doesn't mean that they'll suddenly end up on the website.
Ick. That's my first initial thought reading into this. Like, I am a big advocate for people and businesses getting that bag. Like, I feel if there's an opportunity to earn money off the hard work that you're doing or the business you're building, like, go for it. But the fact that MyAnimeList is now tied into fan economy driven blockchain, it's a little depressing and makes me worry for what's potentially to come to this platform. Like, even though they did say, oh, we don't know any of this technology is going to suddenly end up on MAL. Of course it is. Of course it is. Like, Gaudy is buying this website due to the user base and the potential money that it can churn off said user base. So I think it's a matter of when and not if for this. But if this news is making you feel similar to how I am right now, maybe go check out AniList or Anime Planet. You can export your MyAnimeList user data and import it directly into their platform, so you're not really going to miss a beat. And their user interfaces are also super clean. So I think I'm going to be doing that in the coming days, Courtney, because I don't want any of this blockchain nonsense in and around my life.
I'm kind of shocked by both their announcement and also your announcement here. I've been using MyAnimeList to track my anime since 2012 when I started watching anime seriously. I was recommended MyAnimeList. I've been using it for over 10 years and I love it. And this isn't the first time that the site has changed hands like this. This isn't the first time that they've been picked up and dropped by, you know, companies bought out. I think this will be like the fourth or fifth time, I believe, that they have kind of had that ownership change hands. And, you know, in all of those iterations, usually the changes that have come with that have been quite positive. But not super sweeping. Like, they've been very minor changes because I think, as we know, I think a lot of fandom and, you know, like kind of nerdy fan bases are quite resistant to change unless it's only positive. And even then, they'll find something to complain about. So I think whatever Gaudy do plan on doing here, I think they will definitely be scrutinized really, really heavily, even if it's not, you know, to do with AI or blockchain. And I know that everyone's obviously really, really concerned about it. Like, as soon as people hear AI and blockchain, I think they kind of go into this like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Like, fight or flight mode. But I'm actually curious to see what they do and if they actually impact the site in any meaningful way. Because I know you've said you feel like they're going to implement it. I actually don't know if they will, because I know that the MAL fan base is very set in their ways. So I think they have to be really, really careful because, like you said, there are places like AniList and Anime Planet where you can go and record what you've been watching. You can even just use a notes app on your phone to record what you're watching. So I think they just need to be really, really clever and careful about what they're doing. And from what I've seen, a lot of people are excited, if only just so that the MyAnimeList UI can be updated to be a little bit more user-friendly, but we'll see.
We shall see, Courtney. Let's put a pizza bet on this. Let's see if it changes for the better or for the worst. You might not know for like 12 months' time, but I feel changes are coming.
Yes, we'll definitely see. So what's our bet? If they don't change anything, you buy me a pizza. And if they do change, or not if they don't change anything, if they use AI and blockchain, I buy you a pizza. Mm-hmm. If they don't, then you buy me a pizza.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a good bet. I'm excited to eat some pizza.
You're buying your own as well as mine. I respect that. I was going to give you a slice of mine after you bought it, but like that's totally fine.
All right, let's get to some rapid fire news presented by Otaku Box, the only anime box of scale figures, voting, and ecchi. There is only one piece of news today, but I feel like it is very worthy of being here. The model Alta Mason wore a JoJo's inspired look to the 2025 Met Gala, and this is actually something that I'm really passionate about and makes me really happy because I really like fashion. I was a shopping writer. I currently write for a shopping website or real estate company. I don't know how to explain it, but this Met Gala every year is one of the biggest events in fashion. And when we get to see these, you know, really famous people rocking up and not only wearing things that are so like unique, it's one of a kind, custom made by big brands like Louis Vuitton, Boss, etc. Not only are they custom made, but when they are inspired by the person wearing them and the things they love, that makes it even better. So the fact that Alta Mason is like, oh, the love heart cutout in my chest on my suit, that is 100% Giorno Giovanna. I'm just going to say it. I'm a huge JoJo's fan. I lost my mind.
Yeah, it was a great call out. And the look and aesthetic that Alton had going here at the Met was very impressive as well. Like, very handsome looking rooster, old Alton Mason. And I think did JoJo's and all the character that's part of this world, especially Giorno, very proud in this moment. And it was cool to see because, yeah, it was very much a world collide type of moment here.
And we know that Araki is super into fashion as well. Like, a lot of the character designs and their clothes are inspired by high fashion and these designers. So we know that it's almost like Alta Mason is like nodding to Araki in the way that Araki nods to the world of fashion in his work. So we love to see it.
We do.
All right, let's talk about what we've been watching this week. I have been... Okay, I'm a little behind. I'll just say it. I'll come out and say it. I've fallen behind again after I immediately caught up last week. Then I immediately fell behind this week. But I am caught up with some things. So Apothecary Diaries, episode 17. I know I always talk about Apothecary Diaries, but it just truly bears repeating that this show is so well-crafted and so well thought about. This episode, we saw even more payoff from things that happened in the first four episodes of this second season. And it's just fantastic. Like, the past few episodes, we've seen payoffs from episodes, you know, like 10, 11, 12. But this one, calling all the way back to the initial episodes of the season, got me just so excited because the fact that they still remember all of these little details that all tie together. Like, you know, you think we're going into a new arc and we are, but that arc is so intertwined and the mystery cannot be solved without every single arc of the season. And it just is so fun to watch it all unfold. And I just cannot sing its praises enough.
It's so great. This second season especially, like, the twists and turns are frequent and they're so well written and so well placed. And my big thing in everything in life is to respect your audience's time. And I feel The Apothecary Diaries does this better than 99% of anime out there because they do have these throwbacks to things that were just nothing pieces from season one or early in season two. And there's so much thread connection going on. constantly in this world, and yet you never get tangled up in it and confused. It is so expertly directed and paced and acted from a vocal standpoint, but also from an animation standpoint. Like, it is so good. And like, we just did a deep dive on More Than Hentai, going back and sort of watching episode one of The Apothecary Diaries. And it made me fall in love with this world and these characters all over again, because I looked at it through a different lens this time and was trying to analyze things a little bit differently and sort of put things into like specific buckets as far as story and tone, hook and stuff. And it's so good. It is so good. And I know I don't score it in my current sort of ongoing watch list, but it would still be sitting in my top five firmly, because it is just leaps and bounds above most stuff that's doing the rounds at the moment.
And like, not even just the story, like the art mm-hmm. is gorgeous. The music is gorgeous. I know that this kind of second core of this season, they changed the opening and it's not as good, but just the general soundtrack, I feel as a whole, is really, really well put together. It's very clean. It's just something that I can watch. And, you know, even when the stakes are high, I have faith in the characters that they can kind of deal with any problem that comes to the fore. And, you know, currently what's happening with episodes 16 and 17 is so intense. So I'm like very curious to see where it goes, because we've never seen anything like this on the series.
We really haven't. And I just wanted to sort of reemphasize a point you just made. Like, I've got so much faith in these characters as well, because they're all so smart. Like, yes, you know, someone like Jinchi is just a sexual object for the most part amongst the people that he's sort of around within this world, but he has some intelligence and some tact to himself, as does Mao Mao, as does all the ancillary characters. And even seeing Luoman back in the fold, you know, Mao Mao's sort of adopted father that sort of raised her into the world of medicine and the apothecary ways, and sort of just how, like, I'm not going to spoil anything, but just how he reacts to this situation playing out. And he's just so cool, calm, collected. He's just like, you know what? All will be fine. This is Mao Mao we're talking about. Nothing is new. Like, I love everything about this world.
The way they brought him back in and the timing of everything is so perfect. I love this show. And like, I know everyone loves it. I know everyone appreciates it, but more. Everybody watch it. Yep. It's so good.
And shout out to Lady Gyakuyu. She is a goddess among goddesses in this show. And she's also nice.
Yeah, she's just a really lovely person, which we don't get a lot of from the other concubines, which is interesting. Yep. But similar to the Apothecary Diaries, I've also been watching Black Butler Emerald Witch Arc Episode 5. Once again, another kind of historical mystery and fantasy series. And we're starting to see in this arc the mystery of these werewolves and this mysterious forest and these witches and this magic. All of it is unfolding as Sebastian is single-handedly trying to save Ciel, but also do the Queen's bidding. So at the moment, if you're not caught up, but you're kind of keen, they're currently in Germany. The Queen's asked them to solve some mystery that's going on in Germany. They're in like a strange forest that seems to be back in time. And I'm very stressed because I feel like Ciel has a job to do and he's not doing his job because he's busy being sick. And I'm like, can you please wake up? Do your job. But it's great.
I love this. And again, like, there's just these little smatterings of FOMO that creep in every time you mention Black Butler. So when I do have some downtime in the year 2035, I will certainly be checking out Black Butler and catching up, because I want to get involved in this world, because everything you say about this world and these characters and the mystery and the horror elements and the heart and the sexiness and all this stuff, like, it sounds like something that I'd love. But I just can't get into it for whatever reason. But I will in 2035.
And this arc definitely is just, I mentioned it last episode of the episode before, but it's so different to the public school arc, which was very lighthearted. If you kind of miss the gothic horror of season 1 and 2 of Black Butler, you'll love the Emerald Witch arc because it does go back to that kind of gothic horror, even if it is in more of like a Germanic sense rather than the Victorian gothic sense that we were used to, but it still plays on those same key beats, which I love. Nice. The other thing I want to shout out, Mono episode 4. This is still super enjoyable. I still really love it, but it's definitely become one of my hands-off anime for the season because I can watch it while I'm doing pretty much anything else. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I think an anime can still be a hands-off anime and still be good. It's more just a, if you're like, I want to watch like a cool show about photography, it's not super about the photography part. Like, it's definitely about that slice of life, cute girls doing cute things genre. So just keep it in mind if you're thinking of picking it up. I think in a world where this season I've chosen a lot of the high scoring shows specifically to avoid watching or wasting time on anything that, you know, I might not have the time to actually enjoy, I think this is one that isn't bad, but is definitely a bit lower priority on my list just because of the nature of it, which is fine.
Yeah, I'm a couple episodes back on Mono for that exact same reason. Like, there isn't a cliffhanger that it leaves me on at the end of an episode. I'm like, man, I'm just champing at the bit to get back into this and see what happens next. It is low stakes and I can pick it up and put it down whenever I've got some time to. So I do need to make some time to catch up because it is fine. It is enjoyable. But it is kind of forgettable in comparison to some of the other stuff that we talk about on the regular here. And then even, you know, the two anime you just talked about before that, like, I feel those other two are a lot more sort of earwormy type of thing that just sort of burrows in and stays there compared to a Mono.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, like I said, not a bad thing, just definitely forgettable, I guess, is the word I'm searching for. Like, it's nothing really stands out or is very notable, which is fine.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. They can't all be winners.
That's it. But what have you been watching, Brendan?
Okay, a couple of little quick hitters. I just wanted to say that I would die 10 times over for Tessia in the beginning after the end. Her on-screen portrayal has been one of the few high points of this series so far. It is improving. It is still not improved to the level that I'm happy for it to be at, but it is improving in very small increments. So I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to still remain optimistic. It just feels like such a whiplash going from reading these webtoon chapters every week and it's amazing and gorgeous and well-written and paced and then getting into this anime and it's none of those things. So it feels like I'm sort of in bizarro worlds at times with sort of existing in this franchise in both the sort of the static webcomic version and then also the animated version at the moment.
Do we know? I think this one is a two core, right? Like, this is more than 12 episodes.
It's a 24 episode banger, this one. Yep.
Oh god.
Yeah, so I'll stick with it because I know where the story goes. I'm excited to see some of that translate to screen, but it's still not what me and I guess the rest of the T-Bait sort of fan group was hoping for out there. But hey, well, who knows what happened. Still on that sort of manhwa train of thought, I wanted to shout out the return of the Disaster Class Hero. It's quickly becoming one of my favorite power fantasy stories that I'm currently consuming. I feel it perfectly mixes in crazy battles, cool characters like Haley, the eye patch wearing baddie that sort of entered the scene this past week as I've been reading my way through. And it's also just got a metric ton of fun and laughs. Like, it's super enjoyable, doesn't take itself too seriously, but then it does get serious and violent and epic when it needs to. So it's a good time.
I saw that you posted Haley in the manga chat in our Discord, and you are so right. Like, if I were enjoying this series, I would definitely be in love with Haley because, like you, Brendan, I'm also partial to an eye patch, so I respect it.
I do too. And shout out to Himeno on this shirt that I'm wearing right now. She's pretty much right on top of my heart as she is in clothing form and in real life. So shout out to Ice-T for these fantastic threads. Another one I wanted to mention, Rock is a Lady's Modesty. Courtney, this has become probably my favorite new musical anime of the last few years. Sorry to Bocce, Jellyfish, and Girls Band Cry. I feel just the mix and insanity and zaniness of Rock as a Lady's Modesty. It just speaks to me in a different kind of way. Like Lily and Otto, I feel that they're just goddamn superstars. I love their chemistry and energy on screen together. And now that we've been introduced to the Prince of Ushin, Tina Isimi, as well as Shredlord Tamaki Shireya, I feel that things are really starting to get turned up to 11 as we make our way towards the Battle of the Bands in a couple of weeks' time. Like, this is in the Amaze tier. Like, I dipped it a couple of rungs in my rankings before these last couple episodes, and now it's back up there at like number two because I'm loving it. It's so fun.
Okay, I'm also loving it, but I don't know if I would put it above Bocce.
That's the only one. The other two that I mentioned, yeah. Jellyfish and Girls Band Cry, for sure. Bocce in this could be a 1A, 1B, but I'm just riding this wave that I'm feeling with the Rock as a Lady's Modesty, and I'm here for it. Like, I'm number one super fan on the guardrail cheering with glow sticks for this band right now. I'm loving it.
You really are, because I agree with you with Jellyfish. I feel like this is definitely better than Jellyfish. Girls Band Cry, I think I watched episode 9 last night because I still haven't finished it, but I watched episode 9 last night and I was like, I love how I guess like down to earth Girls Band Cry is. And I think Rock is a Lady's Modesty, while it is really good, the one thing that separates it from most of the other kind of girls playing music anime that we have is that it's very unrealistic in that, you know, they do go to this very like prestigious rich people school, whereas, you know, you think of like K-On, which is my favorite music anime of all time, Bocce, Jellyfish, Girls Band Cry, they're all set in, you know, times and settings where people are realistic. Like, I, you know, you can relate to Bocce. She sits in her room and she plays music. Or, you know, you can relate to K-On, they go to school and they play music and it's just a regular ass school. But the girls in Rock in a Lady's Modesty with their long skirts and their fancy blazers, I'm like, okay, guys.
I went to a private Catholic school, thank you. So I can't relate to long skirts or anything, but I can relate to having to act a certain way or to be expected to be a certain type of person. So there is some loose threads that I can connect to here, but I think it's just the fun. Like the other ones I mentioned there, they are a little bit more grounded in, you know, social anxieties and things, and that's still addressed here in Rock, don't get me wrong, but not to the level that is explored in something like a Bocce or a Jellyfish or a Girls Band Cry. I just think I enjoy the lightheartedness and the punk rock vibe that this has. Like, it is so fun. And another one, it's not on the list here because I still think I love it more, but like your boy Kong Ming is still one of my favorite sort of musical themed anime of a long time. Like, it was, again, super fun, super enjoyable, and just gives me that same good time vibe and just the laughs. Like, it is so funny and so well written. Like, I don't know if you're up to date with Rock, but after they finished doing the guest spot with like the classical band and they're calling like the washed out old man singer that sort of comes up and gives him praise, you know, like Limp Dick, and like just sort of giving it to him, like, it's so punk rock, and I think that's what I love the most about this.
Yeah, I think I respect that, like having that kind of real like extreme comedy part from it and it being so vastly different, I think is, you know, I get it.
And I got in that sort of jam session when they were playing that set, and then obviously we see Alice there and her sort of mentality shift from that. But it gave me like real Food Wars vibes when they're in this battle and they're like, we've got to keep up, we're going to get swept away in the hurricane, and you're watching all these like 40, 50, 60 year old semi-retirees trying to sort of keep up with their saxophones and their wind instruments, where these two are just shredding their little hearts out. Like, it's just a good, good, good time. And another winner for High Dive.
Yeah. Very, very good for High Dive.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one, I won't dwell too much on this, but To Be Hero X, yet another banger. I don't know if you've watched episode 5 yet, but I just love the realness of these heroes in parentheses. Like, that is just the strongest sell point for this franchise and this anime for me so far. Episode 5, I enjoyed, we sort of shifted away from the commoner or Lin Ling. We don't sort of see him at all in this episode. We're focused on Yang Cheng, who's an actor who is portraying the hero E-Soul at kids' parties and just trying to, you know, make something of himself. It was just a really grounded, emotional, and impactful episode. And the fight he has at the end, where he's trying to sort of prevent a kidnapping, again, like, it was sort of similar impact as that fight with Lin Ling the episode before with God's Eye. I think that was the villain, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, this is just, again, in another league compared to most, and I'm loving To Be Heroes.
So I haven't watched the latest episode, but hearing that we're seeing another hero kind of come in, seeing what he is all about, I'm super excited, because I feel like all of these characters, they're all so different, but they're all so deep. And there's like, there's no like superficiality or 2D-ness with these characters. I mean, in terms of animation as well, but it's just, there is so much put into the characters. And I feel like very similar to Apothecary Diaries, where we were talking about the depth of that story and the craft of the storytelling, I think To Be Hero X is definitely on the same level as that.
Yeah, from the storytelling to the animation, like, there is no wasted frames. There is no wasted pixels in To Be Hero X. And it is just in very rare air. Like, it's sitting at the top of the pops for me for this season at the moment. And I think rightfully so. A couple others I wanted to highlight. Episode 5 of Witch Watch. I felt that it proved, it was a bit of a tonal shift, this 5th episode. And it felt like no matter amount of magic that we have in and around our lives, that can't really truly make those insecurities disappear. Like, it was a little bit of an introspective episode. And if anything, it just makes those insecurities way more chaotic and hilarious, it felt like. Whether it was worrying about being too awkward, too weird, or just too much, every character really ends up sort of facing their little fears throughout this episode. And I love, again, we get these 3 little bite-sized mini stories in these episodes. It's just a good way to sort of tell different stories connected to the overall broader universe. Between like the bowel related insecurities, which had me cackling, and you know, some serious overthinking, we get a bump inspired poem at the back end of the 5th episode, and then a very constant amount of painfully relatable blunders. I felt like this episode really balanced that laugh out loud comedy that we've come to know and love with a genuinely sweet reminder, you know, that like everyone is feeling a little insecure at times. So don't worry, don't overthink things. I think that's just what makes us human, or, you know, ogre, witch, or Tengu in this regard. So either way, I feel that it's just pure magic. It's 3 in my season. I've moved it up a couple of rungs, and it's sitting firmly in that amazed tier, because it's just, again, sort of similar thought process with Rock. It's just a good, enjoyable time where I just leave these episodes smiling and feeling happy.
I think the thing that I love the most about Witch Watch is the fact that each episode is kind of cut into 4 mini episodes where, you know, they're all related, but they're all kind of separate. It's always a different situation. It really leans into that kind of sitcom vibe, which I really enjoy. And I feel like we don't get very much of in anime generally, and especially not in fantasy anime, where, you know, we have witches. Like, I feel like you get a lot of sitcom in the general slice of life genre, not so much in fantasy. And like, I know this is slice of life too, but I think it's really, really nice to have these just situations where, you know, is the magic gonna fuck it all up? Yes, probably. And it's gonna be hilarious.
It was so good. Like, watching, I can't remember his name, was like Maku or something, the guy that had the poo phobia. Like, he couldn't go to the toilet in class because he got bullied one time when he was like 7 years old at school. And so Nico casts this spell where he can become like invisible, or his aura becomes non-existent by doing like a pose where he sort of crosses his hands and has his index fingers up. And so watching him try and navigate his way to the toilet and then not be able to like pull his pants down or like, you know, wipe his backside, but then after that, like, some kids end up coming into the bathroom and they're like, oh, we wouldn't make fun of him, that's like a dumb thing you do as a kid. And then he was like, oh, this was all for nothing. But leading up to that moment, I was cackling.
I just love that Nico is always just trying her best. I think that for me is the most endearing thing, and what makes her stand out as a main character is she's just so sincere every single time. and we know she's gonna screw it up, and it's so okay, and we love her.
And she levels up, like her little witch crystal in her wand has sort of changed the color ever so slightly, so she's getting closer to being a full-fledged witch. But those scenes in the final chunk of this episode where Moi is sort of patting, I think her name was Miku, or like M-E-K-U, I think her name was, like a rival witch from a town across, and she can transform into a cat. So he's like, no, this is the way you've got to sort of like make a cat feel comfortable. And getting her monologue as he's sort of patting her, and that's where we get like the Badump inspired poem, because her heart's just like beating out of her little cat chest. I was again just in hysterics during these moments, and I can't wait for her to sort of get more involved in this world.
Yes, her name, I just double checked, Nemu Meow. Oh, Nemu. Meow, that's her last name is so funny. Stop.
Yeah, and she's even like, when she's in the humanoid form, the way her hair is sort of positioned, it's almost like she's got cat ears. It's so good. But she was a great little addition to this cast as well, and I know she's going to play a major force for sort of episodes to come. But speaking of force, Fire Force Season 3, I haven't spoken about it at all on this podcast this season, but I just wanted to say that it's just been so much fun so far. Like, we're 6 episodes in now, and it feels like we've just really hit the ground running. Like, we're seeing sort of Shinra, he's going off in some of these battles with new moves. Arthur has somehow managed to not only get even more powerful, but even more ridiculous in sort of the scenes that he's sort of getting exposure into. And the fights have just been absolutely wild and delivering just those big, monster, powerful moments. And then when you combine that with the soundtrack, like the use of sound in Fire Force is some of the best in anime, in my opinion. We're getting deeper into all the Evangelist stuff, and it feels like every episode just seems to be dropping some type of crazy new reveal or new lore unfolding. And it's just continually building up to a bigger and bigger fight. So the tension and the anticipation is just sort of fever pitch all the time. And then also the animation, even though it is maybe not for everybody, some of the character models can be a little like, I don't know, or the minimalism usage here and there. But it feels, when they really sort of lean into it and sort of throw some money into these scenes, it's cleaner and flashier than it has been in seasons past. So I'm really, really enjoying it. It feels like they're in a bit of a sort of rare air at the moment. Like, it feels like it's in its prime, and I'm excited to see where this season goes, because it's feeling very insane and hype as hell for me. And it's sitting in that sort of great tier, I'd say, if I'm going to metric it. It's creeping up, and I've been pleasantly surprised with how much I've been enjoying this.
I really need to get on it. And I think the thing that will inspire me to start watching Fire Force, Brendan, is if you tell me who the hottest boy is.
Oh, that's a tough question. There is a lot of hot boys in Fire Force.
Okay.
And there's some hot girls too.
I've heard Maki is like...
Maki Oze is my favorite. Like, she's the muscle mummy. Love her. Maybe like Leonardo Burns is one of the fire captains. He's a silver fox guy with an eye patch.
Oh my God. Okay, let me look it up.
Maybe Mr. Burns could be it for you. Benny Morrow. Oh my God.
Brendan, why did you not tell me about Leonardo Burns before? What the?
He's a bit of a beast.
Oh my God.
But there is a lot of good characters in Fire Force, but just knowing what you like, I thought Leonardo would probably check the box. Like, there's a lot of spice. There's a lot of spice. Like, a lot of attractive females, a lot of attractive males.
Wait, who else did you say? Benimaru?
Benimaru, he's the one responsible for, you know, the boom sound drop noise in the news.
Right.
That's from him. And yeah, he's got these hectic red eyes, long, angsty, sort of emo-y, sort of hairy vibe.
Okay. This is good. Good stuff. Good
recommendation?
Yeah, recommendation. Thank you.
That's okay. Yeah, so, but no, short version, Fire Force Season 3 has been really enjoyable, really consistent. And I like that it sort of goes from balls to the wall action to a little bit of lighthearted fun to massive big world ending stakes. Like the hook in it is big time. Like, yeah, the world could potentially go up in literal flames here. And then you tie in sort of this big religious element to it. It's just very unique, I think Fire Force in comparison to some of the other stuff out there. And yeah, the fights, oh boy.
Yeah, looks so good.
But yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Amazing. Let's get into some final comments now. I want to shout out that I am going to be attending the Doom, the Dark Ages launch event in Sydney. And this is actually something that is open to the public from 7 p.m. So if you're in Sydney, you're keen on Doom, I love the Doom franchise. It's such a fun video game, but the new game is coming out. That is on Friday, May 16 in the city. So if you're keen, definitely head along to that. You can find more info on Bethesda Australia New Zealand's Instagram, but that's what I'm thinking of doing. What about you?
That's going to be great. Like, it's reviewing really, really well. Like, I see a lot of 9 out of 10s, 90 out of 100s and up. Like, I'm such a Doom fanboy. I'm looking forward to potentially diving into Doom the Dark Ages down the line because it looks like a goddamn good time. And the soundtrack on these games is always just a straight humper. So I cannot wait to sort of see that violence be accompanied by just crunchy, shreddy, genty, you know, riffage greatness. So that makes me very excited. But other than that, I don't really know what I wanted to shout out at the moment. Like, I guess shout out to you and your new hair. Like, shout out to the mushroom blonde. It's a new year, new Courtney type of vibe going on right now. Other than that, shout out to IC Aesthetics for this fantastic Himeno t-shirt. And shout out to the vet for looking after Bentley this morning because she was quick to diagnose, gave us some medication. It wasn't anything too stressful to worry about. Fingers crossed. But yeah, that's all I wanted to mention. Nice and simple final comments for me this week.
Keep it simple. And of course, a huge thank you to our producers, Orny Duffer and Matthew C. We appreciate you guys so, so much. And if you are keen on getting into the community more, hanging out with us at Sakura Society and meeting our producers and all of our lovely friends that come and listen to us every day and chat to us every day on our Discord, make sure you join. There'll be a link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And if you do want to support us monetarily or for free, you can do so on Patreon. We have 4 tiers ranging from free up to, I think it's $10, $15. Don't quote me.
That is correct. Yeah, 10 USD, I believe.
Yep. So if you want to support us, you can do that with a bunch of cool perks like getting to join in our recordings as a live audience, and you can do that at patreon.com/Sakura Society.
You can also support us monetarily via sakurasociety.co/shop if you want to get yourself some fantastic Sakura Society inspired merchandise, or you can do it for free over at TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, on your podcast players of choosing. It's just rating, reviewing, subscribing, liking, commenting, all that stuff. It means the world to us, takes no time, costs you all no money, and helps keep us relevant, keeps us tracking in those various algorithms. So if you can do that, we would be very, 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 very thankful for that. Whether your anime be subbed, dubbed, or still to come, enjoy yourself, and much love to all the gorgeous wifeys and husbandos out there. Goodbye.
Mata ne.